Praise the Lord. Good morning, Bethel. You're not excited. Good morning, Bethel. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm a shouting preacher, so you have to get used to this. Amen. Let's start on our feet in the reading of the scripture, and then we are going to get in the word. And I believe God is going to bless us in the name of Jesus. Open with me the book of Leviticus, chapter number 10. And we are going to read verse 1 through 3. It's on the screen. Amen. And this is what the Bible says. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them. They died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I'll be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Precious Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. It's good for correction, for reproof, teaching us righteousness, so that you may be well equipped for the good work. And this afternoon, Lord, I pray, may you speak to each one of us. And thank you for preparing this table, that we can come together and dine together. We love you, Jesus, and we honor your name. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and we give thanks. And everyone say, amen. I want to share the word of God under the title, Strange Fire. Tell your neighbor, Strange Fire. I want to introduce this topic by starting by, sometimes God seems too far away from us. Have you ever been there that you feel God is like so far away, he's like absence in your life, and especially when you're going through uncertainties, he may feel so distant from us. And sometimes we miss, well, we can hear him, and we can hear his word saying to me or to us, I am with you. Now, God has his protocol, and from the days immemorial, when he created men, he created them to have a fellowship with him. He created men to have a union with him. But sin came in and devoured that opportunity. And so man was separated from God, both spiritually and physically. And over again, God was trying to bring man back to himself. And so he introduced the animal system, sacrificial system. And Exodus is ending by introducing a tabernacle. And Leviticus 1, God gave instruction to Moses how he desired to be worshipped, how he desired to be approached. And he, chapter 6, the Bible says, he described about this fire we have been talking about, the keepers of the flame, that this flame or this fire must continue burning and never go out. Chapter number 6, the Bible says, this fire has to be kept burning and never go out. He repeated that verse 10 and verse 13. Let the fire of the altar be kept burning day and night, consistently. And so God gave us this protocol, how we can able to approach him, how we can able to honor him in our way of worship. And so he introduced the tabernacle, and there was Holy of Holies, and also he introduced the priests who are going to be offering those sacrifices. And he chose Aaron and his sons, Nadab and Abihu, to be the priests. Now, one thing I want to mention here, the quality of the priest and the quality of the sacrifice mattered before God. And God has not changed that even to date. The quality of sacrifice and the quality of priest, it matters before God. And so God was moving in mighty way when these people were doing the right worship. Chapter number 9, the book of Leviticus, verse 24, the Bible says that this particular time they brought the burnt offering and Moses came out to bless people together with Aaron. And when he raised up his hand to bless people, the Bible says, and the fire came from the throne of God and consumed the burnt offering, and everybody bowed down and worshiped the Lord. The presence of God was very evident as it was this morning. Everybody bow down. Now to let you know, when we do the right worship, it attracts the presence of God. We don't have to ask God, God, come down and come in our worship. Come down and enjoy our worship. No, when we do the right worship, God moves. God comes when we do the right worship. Am I speaking to someone today? Do the right worship. And so the Bible says, chapter 10 introduces us to something so strange that happened that particular time. Because sometimes we may get so familiar with God, familiar with His presence, that sometimes we don't care whether God moves or not. Sometimes we focus so much onto ourselves, focus so much on the music, and there is nothing wrong with the music. Music is part of worship, but it's not everything. And so sometimes when there is no keyboardist, we cannot sing because the keyboardist is not there. When nobody is clapping, we feel like, oh, I am disappointed. I don't think we are doing right. Let me tell you something. Worship is individual. Tell your neighbor, worship is individual. And worship is not a song only. Worship is our lifestyle. And Paul, writing to Romans, he said this word in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because this is the act of worship. This last day I met some strange people. And when I say strange people, they were very strange. I was invited because there was a dispute somewhere about the true worship. And so these strange people taught me these words. Hey, we only worship on Saturday. And we worship from this particular time to this time. And this is this word, I wish I can have an opportunity to worship every single day. And I told them, hey, where do you live? Which God do you serve? And I told him, like Samaritan woman, the word he had from Jesus, we don't worship God from this mountain. Our God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in truth and in spirit. We don't worship the day. We don't worship because we come to church on Sunday. That should be every single day of our lives. And so the keepers of the flame, they don't wait on Sunday to keep the flame burning. We burn the flame every single day of our lives. Because God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in truth and in spirit. And Bavarians, is that a spiritual word to say Bavarian? And Bavarians are the keepers of hope. I want to let you know, brethren, we have to grow from Sunday to every single day. God has called us to worship Him every single day of our lives. And so these guys, I said to them, hey, do you know God? Do you know the Bible? And these people are calling themselves preachers. And I said, hey, listen, Jesus came so that we can have God in our homes, God in our bathrooms, God in our cars, God everywhere. He is omnipresent. Hallelujah. He is omnipresent God. And so God created us to have a relationship. And this relationship we approach is by worship. And worship is a sincere heart of acknowledging God's presence and power in our lives. And the question is this: how can I approach Holy God? How can I approach Holy God with all my past, with all my ugly past, and with everything I fight every single day? Guess what, brethren? We have one way. We have one mediator. We have one truth. His name is Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, he came so that me and you, we can have access before the throne of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, therefore now, let us approach the throne of God with confidence because of Jesus. And God is not looking for the lamb. He is not looking for the calf. He is not looking for the goat. He is looking for a sincere heart that is saying, Lord, I cannot do without you. I cannot make it without you. I cannot bring up my children without you. I cannot do without Jesus. That is the true worship. You see, when God spoke to Moses about the sacrifices, he was typifying what to come, which is Jesus Christ. And so this method of worship has to be taken seriously. And God is serious about worship. Can you help me to preach and tell your neighbor, God is so serious about worship. And he's not looking for performance. He's not looking for your success. He is looking for a sincere heart that is so bowed down to him, saying, Lord, I need you more than anything else. And so God is looking for men and women who are going to trust the work that Jesus did on the cross. He carried my burden and my issues. He carried my pain and my curses. And so my responsibility is to come to him with a sincere heart. Somebody say amen. So what is true worship? True worship is that bring what we call oneness with God. Oneness with God through Jesus. Oneness with God through Jesus Christ. But something happened. The sons of Aaron, they got used to the presence of God. And they thought that they can maintain the true friend with their gimmicks. They thought they can copy and paste the power of God. We cannot imitate the power of God. It's either you have it or we cannot imitate the power of God. I'm excited about what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 19, about the sons of Sceva. They saw what God was doing through the hands of Paul. Paul is praying for the sick, they get healed. God is using Paul to cast out demons. And so these were exorcism, and they thought, hey, this is an easier way to get money. And so they thought they can use the power and the name of Jesus for their personal interest. And so they went to this house to house. I think we call it door-to-door ministry. The sons of the cover, they went to door-to-door ministry. And they went there and said, hey, we cast out you demons in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demons said, hey, we recognize Jesus. We don't joke with that man. We also know Paul. That guy, we don't dare to joke with him. Hey, but tell me, give me your CV. Who are you? Who are you? And so the Bible says they were beaten. Their clothes torn. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you don't have a real friend, don't dare to cast out demons because they are going to work on you. The Bible says they were battered. They went out naked. And from that day, the Bible says, the name of Jesus was referenced. Because, brethren, I can tell you this. We cannot imitate the power of Jesus. We cannot fake it. It's either you have it or you don't have it. And so the keepers of frame, we need to identify what kind of frame am I keeping? What kind of frame do I have? If you have a fake frame, it is not too late to identify the little frame. And the little frame comes from Jesus. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this word John the Baptist said this word, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming after me, he will baptize you with fire and with the Spirit. And so, keepers of frame, I want to remind you, Jesus gave us this gift from heaven because the fire of the Holy Ghost is the gift of the Father to his children that he can be able to overcome, that it can be more than conquerors, that when we agree on something, heaven can hear. When we bite something, it can be bowed even in heaven. When we lose something, it can be loosed in heaven. We have to be having the little fire. Tell your neighbor, keep the little fire. Hey, please tell them, keep the little fire. Keep the little fire. And so the Bible says, when they brought the profane fire, unwanted fire, the Bible is not clear where this fire came from, but they brought a strange fire. The fire that was supposed to bring was only the fire from the altar. This brother strange fire, and the Bible says, the fire came from heaven and consumed them. Let me tell you something. The strange fire may be exciting, but it destroys. One more time. Strange fire can be exciting, but it destroys. The little fire, it refines, it builds, and it transforms. One more time. The little fire, it transforms, it refines, and it changes. That is what the Bible says. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, it's a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. That is someone who have encountered the real fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. And we desire the little fire. And maybe brothers and sisters, you have been in that area where you have been so used to the presence of God, it doesn't matter anymore. Maybe the enthusiasm, the passion, the desire is no longer there anymore. Maybe you allow things to cover the presence of God. Maybe you are covered with the desires and the desires of this earth. I want to let you know, it is time to come back to the little fire. The little fire will transform and change you in Jesus' mighty name. And so the grow part, Pastor Rich, I'm learning from you, the grow part now. If you have not been in connection, now we are in the grow part. And this is why we are talking about the consequences of offering the stretch fire. It brings death and separation from God. The tragedy in life is not lack of money. It's not lack of jobs. The tragedy in life is not lack of what we call material stuff. The tragedy in life is to be separated from God's blessings. And David one time he said, where can I learn from your spirit, O Lord? If I got to the air, you are there. If I built my bed in the ocean, you are there. And he came to a conclusion. He said, nowhere I can learn from your presence, O Lord. Brothers and sisters, in our days that we are living, the best place to live in, it is in the presence of the Lord. The Old Testament believers, they were looking for a day like today because they could only partially experience the presence of God from a distance. And this is only when the sacrifice and the high priest are of quality. And you can imagine, somebody could be preparing a sacrifice to take it to Shiloh for the covering or for the atonement of their sin. And if the high priest was not correct, was not right, he could die at the altar. Or if the sacrifice had blemish or was not complete, you go home without being forgiven until the next year. But what a mighty God we serve. Because of his grace and his mercy, today we can come before the presence of God. I don't have to prepare a pigeon. I don't have to prepare a turtle dove. I don't have to prepare a cattle. I don't have to prepare a calf. I just need to come before the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm here. I am here. I am here. It is a dangerous thing to be separated from the presence of God. It is a dangerous thing. Have you ever seen dead men walking? Yes. Yes, because when we are separated from God, we are dead. We are dead. The book of Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and in our sin. Verse 4, change everything, because it says, but God, because of his unlimited love and grace, he saved us. And verse 8, the Bible says, it is not by works, lest anyone boast. It is by grace, through faith, in Christ Jesus, that we are saved. And so, brothers and sisters, we cannot take the presence and the grace of God in vain. It is a dangerous thing to be separated from the presence of God. Where do you go for strange fire when we have a little fire through the power of the Holy Spirit? And the world needs to hear and fulfill and hear the power of God moving through us and in us. Fort Worth is looking for little fire. Our families are looking for little fire. Our children are looking for little fire, a little encounter with God in Jesus' mighty name. And so we cannot worship God out of our experiences. We cannot worship God because we come to church. We cannot worship God because we have good baptism names. We can only worship God from a sincere heart. A sincere heart. David had a revelation when he said, burnt offering you don't desire, but the sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a contrite spirit. God will not despise. God will not reject. Jesus' mighty name. He will not reject a broken heart, a contrite spirit. The other danger of a strange fire is this: nothing will work in our lives that honors God until we have the little fire. God is not only looking for sacrifice. One more time. God is not only looking for sacrifice. God is not only looking for worship. He's looking for fellowship. And this fellowship has to be built on love. Because number one, he is our king. Because we are citizens of heaven. He is our father because we are his children. He's not only looking for worship. He's not looking for sacrifice. He is looking for a sincere heart committed to him. Ask your neighbor, what kind of fire are you carrying? Ask them that question. Which kind of fire are you carrying? Which kind of fire are you carrying? Which kind of flame are you burning? Which kind of flame are you carrying? When we gather together, which kind of fire can we experience from you? You see, a strange fire will bring dullness even in the fellowship. Because we come with self-importance. Hey, without me, this fellowship cannot survive. Without me, that Bible study can never be successful. Without me, God can never move. Who are you? Who are you? Now, without Jesus, we cannot experience the real deal. I don't know about America so much, but I know where I come from. We live in the days whereby we have great men of God. That when they are appearing in the service, they have to have some bouncers like Rion. You know Rion is standing there? They have to have bouncers that escorting them and carrying the Bible, their Bible, and some towels to just wipe the sweat of the anointed man of God. And we have come to a place whereby that I feel I cannot preach when I'm still studying. And so I choose some few men to carry me on as I preach on the pulpit. And those men, they tell you, hey, you don't even have to open your Bible. I am the oracle of God. I am the voice of God. So all what you need to do is just to reason. Ask your neighbor, who are you? God is looking for men and women who are humble enough to recognize Jesus in their presence. The little fire does not exalt itself. The little fire submit under the presence of God. The little fire humbles itself before the presence of God. And so we need the little fire. And as believers, we need to know these words, that Jesus came and replaced the old system so that me and you, we can have the easiness of approaching God. He is not looking for protocols. He's not looking for vocabularies. You don't have to come before God with the greatest Scotland English. I didn't say American English. We don't have to approach God with Scotland English. We don't have to write down the vocabulary we need to present before the presence of God. God is looking for men and women who are humble enough that when they approach him, oh, they just say, Daddy, I am here. I just here to recognize your name. I'm not here because I need a school fees. I'm not here because I need house rent. I'm here just to say how I love you. Praise the name of the Lord. Because the stretch fire conform us to think that God is an ATM machine. It conform our mind to think God is only there when we need him. When we need money, when we need breakthrough, when we are sick, we need healing. But I want to let you know God is available for us to worship him every single day in our lives. And let's treat God as God. Just come before him the way you are. The way you are in Jesus' mighty name. And we go to the next section as we conclude. The go part. I love the go part. I'm getting it there, right? The go part. Now the go part is this, and this is the lesson we are going to apply in our life. Apply the lesson of Nadab and Abihu to your own life and worship. Guess what, brethren? These men were chosen by God. They had an intimacy with God. They could experience God. They could hear from God. But they devoured the opportunity to experience him because they went for a strange fire. Because they get used of him. Never get used of God. Let every single day say, Lord, I'm here. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than tomorrow. I need you right near. I need you now in Jesus' mighty name. Experiencing Jesus every single day in our life matters in our lives more than any of before. And so, every single day, like Adam, Nadab, and Abihu, just know you are chosen by God. We are high priests. We are called by God to offer sacrifices from the bottom of our heart. We are called by God to submit to him with humility and acknowledging his power and his presence. And it's only then that God is going to show up in our lives in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you, church? If we learn from Nadab and Abihu and acknowledge Jesus in our personal lives, we don't have to beat ourselves to attract God's favor, to attract God's presence. We don't have to do gimmicks to maintain the presence of God. We show up and he show up mightily. Because where two or three gather in his name, he is in their midst. Jesus' mighty name. Number two, it is important to seek God's guidance and wisdom in all what we do. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't be so much consumed by self-importance. Be like that man who said, I am a sinner. Lord, forgive me and hear me. Don't be like that Pharisee who stood on the other corner and said, I'm not like that man. I give tithe. I pray and fast. He beat himself. He beat his chest. And Jesus asked this question. Who among the two that God responded with grace and mercy? It is the man who humbled himself, said, Lord, you're more than anything. I need you more than anything. Don't rely on your own understanding. Let's seek God and his guidance and his wisdom and his continue moving in our lives more than ever before. Let's start on our feet in the presence of God, even as I invite praise and worship here. God is calling us to come back to himself with a sincere heart. And maybe you've been asking God, God, who are you? You feel like we are lost, and God may feel like he is at distance. And sometimes it seems like he's not responding to your prayer. Let's start on our feet if you can. Let's start on our feet if you can, and let's enjoy this presence of God and ask God, God, I need to go back to the place of worship. I want to hear from you. I want to experience you more than ever before. And maybe you have experienced the move of God in your life before. Maybe God used to use you with vision and dreams and with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they are no longer operational. And probably because somewhere you opened a door for a strange fire. It is not too late. We can experience his power one more time. We can experience his grace one more time. We are not going to end up like sons of Aaron. Because when you seek God with from a sincere heart, he hears and answers our prayer. Let's go back to the little fire that honors God and glorifies God. Let's not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In Jesus' mighty name. God desires to have a fellowship with you. A fellowship that is not founded on manipulation. But a fellowship that is founded on love and from a sincere heart. He is able. He desires to show up in your life more than ever before. Just allow God to move and to do that which he said that he is going to do. He wants to show up in your life. He is not a distance from you. He is a present keeper. He is a present help. Even in the time of need. He desires to move in your life more than ever before. Let this fire, the live fire, keep burning in your heart. The fire of the Holy Spirit, by looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is the only way we can able to offer a little sacrifice, a little worship in Jesus' mighty name. Let's raise our hands before the presence of God and say, God, I invite you in my life one more time. Move in my life. I desire to know you more and more, Lord. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Restore to me to the true worship. I desire to know you more than yesterday. Lord, move in my life. I desire to know you. I desire to keep the fire, the live fire burning in my heart, in the name of Jesus, in my community, in my family, in my life. I desire the live fire in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless and exalt your name. May you be exalted in our life in the name of Jesus. May you move in our midst more than ever before. Oh God, lay in our lives, lay in our mind. Oh God, that we may give you a little worship, a sincere heart. that is devoted, that is committed to you. And as we go out, Lord, we share the same love to others. Share the fire of the Holy Ghost to others. Share the grace of Jesus to others in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, God, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and give thanks. And everyone say, amen.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.